Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed you're joining us. In this day and age in which we live, medical advancements are coming on us at a rapid pace, faster, more detailed. And because of this, medical facilities run sort of a, let's call it a production line of people in and out of the offices and hospitals. Gone are the days when doctors actually knew their patients and the patients trusted the doctor because they believed that he or she understood them and didn't treat them as a line item on a spreadsheet. Now, there are doctors out there that do have those kinds of relationships with their patients. And I've been fortunate enough to find one where I live that I've been with now for 20 plus years. Wow. Amen. Our guest today is one that has made it his specialty to treat his patients with kindness, respect, and dignity. And if I lived in East Texas, he would be my doctor. Praise God. Dr. Charles Page has been practicing surgery for over 25 years. He's journeyed with thousands of patients in his time. He's also the author of a book called A Spoonful of Courage for the Sick and Suffering, which is an absolutely fabulous book, and the book Spoonful of Courage, Equations to Find Grace in Life's Challenges. His ministry is called Spoonful of Courage as well, which we'll be getting into today. As an ER physician, Dr. Charles Page has seen a lot of things happen to people over the years, and he's known as the best guy to see on the worst day of your life. Amen. Help me welcome to the program the best guy to see on the worst day of your life, Dr. Charles Page, also known as Dr. Chuck. Doc, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, Bob, it's an honor. Let me just preface this by saying, you know, I may be the best guy to see on the worst day of your life, but my wife is the best person to see any day of your life. You know, when we go places, I mean, it's really funny. You know, they all flock around my wife, and then they look at me, you know, they're like, who is this? Oh. What do we do with this guy? You know, you probably have the same, probably the same challenge, you know. So, but it's good to be here with you.
Amen. You were with us way back in 2019, episode number 618 or in that area. That was 5 years ago and almost 900 episodes ago. Praise God. How have you been, brother?
Man, I've been good. Just kind of rolling along, you know, still, practicing surgery every day and trying to pay the bills. You know, as you know, since post-COVID, the medical climate has really changed. Of course, the whole culture's changed post-COVID, but really, you know, as I'm moving into a different season of life with writing and, you know, still trying to, you know, pay the bills and get my four kids through college and all those things, you know, it's getting harder and harder, you know, to practice and keep my practice afloat. But fortunately, you know, once again, keeping the main thing has always kind of kept me going. And like you talked about, it really, it's funny where our healthcare system is now. It's so disordered. And I see it every day. You know, people, they come in and, you know, because of kind of the piecemeal fashion and, you know, the click the box medicine and kind of the shift work mentality, there's really a loss of relationship that's really affecting not only our healthcare system, but it's affecting people individually. They're just confused.
Amen. Now, for those that may not have heard our past conversation, because it's been a while, can you tell us in your own words, who is Dr. Charles Page?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a surgeon. I'm married to Joanna. We've been married for almost 29 years now, and we have five kids, four in college. So we got a lot of things on our plate. I'm still in private practice. I'm a dinosaur in a sense. I'm not an employed physician, which it works for me. We're seeing a trend of more and more physicians becoming employed physicians, but it's worked for me. I do a lot of medical mission work if I can, and I do a lot of stuff in Africa, training residents. I also have medical students, and it's one of the things that gives me a lot of encouragement is to be able to influence this younger group of doctors. It's funny how doctors are being trained today. They're being trained very differently than I was trained. So it's able to kind of give them a different perspective on kind of the art of medicine and what it means to be a physician.
Amen. Amen. And if I remember correctly, last time you were on, I think you mentioned something about you being a coffee addict. Are you still a coffee connoisseur?
Yes, sir. I had a pot of coffee this morning. I usually get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's where I have my quiet time
Amen. Me
and
too.
have that protected time. And I typically drink about a pot of coffee. I'm working on a talk. I'll be going to New York next week to speak at a
Amen.
church, and I'm also writing a book. And so I drink a lot of coffee. I usually stop about 2 o'clock because coffee lasts about 6 hours in your body, and then that rolls over into your sleep. And so I've kind of learned to rhythm, but still, man, I thrive on coffee. So
Amen.
love
Amen.
it.
Yeah, me too. And when we get done, I'll tell you a quick story about that. I don't want to tell it on the air, but yeah, I'm the same way. 5:15, I'm up. That's my quiet time. And I myself still go through about a pot of coffee a day. On a good day, a pot and a half. I usually knock it off about 3:30 or so. Just say, okay, that's the last one. Praise God. Now, in the opening, I mentioned having a physician you can trust, someone who actually cares about you. And I know you call your medical practice a business, combining business and ministry together. Can you
Yeah, business.
explain that term for us and how you use that to build that type of relationship with your patients?
Well, Bob, on one hand, it is a business. We have to pay the bills. I have six employees I have to pay. But the overarching goal, of course, is not to sell people something, it's to serve them, And so I know that's true with all the things that you're doing with your podcast. I mean, it's about serving people. And so much of that is kind of is just the foundation of that is trust, and it's relational. It's very relational. I know that when people come to listen to your podcast, they trust you, and they know that you're going to bring people on your programs that are going to, give inspirational, encouraging information that they need. And so that's the kind of the goal too. And as I'm getting older in medicine, the more I realize just how foundational nurturing trust is with your patients or anything that you're in, any kind of business that you're in or enterprise, is that it's really important that people trust you.
Yeah, amen. Amen. We were recently on vacation down there in Central Texas, and my wife had forgotten one of her prescriptions. And
Oh my goodness.
like I said, we've been with our doctor for 20 plus years. He's given me his personal phone number before. He said, if you ever need me, just call me. So I didn't want to call him because I don't want to bother the guy, type thing. So I texted him, figured, okay, when he gets a chance, he'll see it, text him. But he called me back in about 10 minutes and told me he had contacted the pharmacy, the number I'd given him, close to where we were at in Austin, and they were going to refill the prescription. And I didn't have to go through, six voicemail messages, three clerks, and hope at some point he'd call me back.
Well, I mean, Bob, that says a lot. First of all, to your physician, we talk about availability, affability, and ability. But access is really a challenge these days, and there's so many people that don't have what you have, a primary care doctor who knows you as a person. Who you know who I mean it's and it's and it's a dynamic of trust on both sides. I mean, he trusts you enough to know that if you've got a problem, he's going to call in your medicines. And so most people don't have that anymore. It's so difficult for
And that's
folks
why
to
I said
find
that's
a
why
primary
I've been
care
with him for
doctor.
20 plus years, because I mean it's just that relationship has been great. And he trusts
I'll
me
tell you
not to
what,
just
it's
pass out his phone number and stuff like that.
man, that's something to really treasure. And I'll tell you something for people to cultivate and nurture, is to have that problem. And the way our culture is nowadays, there's so many doctors that they'll go to a place for a couple of years and they move, and so, or insurance may change and you may have to have another primary care doctor, a nurse practitioner or whatever, and it's really hard to have that long-term relationship. But I'll tell you something really deep when you have that person who knows your history, you know what I'm saying, and knows not only about your medical problems, but kind of understands relationally who you are as a person and what your, what your healthcare goals is, what your life goals are. It really makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I don't know if you give some of your patients your personal phone number or not, but how do you build a business tree of trust?
Well, I think it takes time, like I was saying, availability, affability, ability, kind of my three words are competence, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, with the right team and the right preparation. I think that's important. So competence, compassion, Bob, people don't know, still saying people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Really,
amen.
I think empathy is important. And then your character, just doing the right thing in all situations. And, talk about a business tree, there's a lot of physicians, not a lot, I'm not saying all, but some physicians, they do things because it's better for them financially. You know what I'm saying? And it's all, we all have that tendency, especially in business or whatever, to try to, to try to fleece people or whatever, but really, it's not about selling things. It's not about serving. And I'll tell you, I've learned when I put that first, when I put the patient first, put that as priority, everything tends to take care of itself. Even in times, kind of having a practice that really is, like I said, I'm a dinosaur. Private practice is one of those things that is really getting increasingly hard to survive in. God's always provided when I've done the right thing.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know there's one story in your book where you share a little bit about doing things the right way. I think it was a patient with a thyroid problem or something. Is that right? Do you remember the story?
Yeah,
I'm
but
talking about?
It escapes me.
Okay.
I'll tell you though, I recently had a patient and this is talking about trust. I recently had a lady with a huge substernal thyroid and it really kind of scared me. I work in a place with limited resources. So it's always the issue of, well, who's going to be the best person to do this operation? And so anyway, I did her operation and the operation was a success, but she didn't get better. And so anyway, she's still having problems swallowing and trying to figure out, well, what's going on? So as I continued working her up, I found out that there was actually two pieces, the piece that I removed through her neck. And there was another piece that was around her, lodged around her aorta in her chest.
Oh,
and that
wow.
was something really that, always we talk about trust, doing the right thing. Is that one of those things that I need to send her to a tertiary care center to do, to a heart surgeon who's going to be able to open up her chest or whatever, as we began to have conversations about that. And as I offered, her the opportunity, hey, I can send you to Houston, she ultimately opted to have it done here, in small town USA, small town Texas. And so here I am doing something that, definitely I'm trained to do, but probably would be better to have somebody who's a super subspecialist to do this. And we did it and she did well and she got better, without any complications. But, that's always kind of the thing I think that we struggle with, in our businesses and our ministry is, but always trying to put the priority of, doing the right thing and putting the patients, the patients, they're prioritizing them above anything else. And I think when we do that, I think we're blessed. In this case, she ultimately made the decision to stay and because that's the best way that we could serve her. And but that's always one of those things that it always comes down to relationships. And like, just going back to what you were talking about your primary care doctor, your primary care doctor knows you well enough to know what scenario is going to be the best for you in a particular situation. And I think that's where trust comes in. It's a two-way trust. And for physicians, sometimes it's a burden of trust that we kind of have to, because a lot of patients don't know, they don't know what's the right course of action. And sometimes it involves sitting down and listening and talking to people and really kind of feeling them out, kind of What are their priorities about things?
Yeah, amen, amen. Tell us about your book, A Spoonful of Courage. When you first sent me this book prior to our prior interview 5 years ago, I remember I read it in one sitting. I mean, I could not put this thing down. It was that good. And can you share with us the format of that book?
Well, it's just little short stories. You know, I've learned from my patients, and it's amazing how much I learn from their life lessons. And so these are just some of their life lessons and, you know, what I've learned from them, and just little quick stories that people can read that are going through a health challenge, and they can, you know, has a scripture verse and stuff that'll help them kind of give a different perspective, you know, and kind of seeing the opportunities that our adversity, especially our health challenges, bring us. You know, Bob, there's nothing like a loss of health to remind us that we're not in control.
Yeah, amen.
There's nothing like a change in our health status to kind of remind us that, you know, that this delusion that we have, this self-perceived delusion that we have, that we're in control, and you know, that we're the center of the universe. There's nothing like that to help kind of change our perspective. And so that's what this book was aimed at. But since then, yeah, I've written another book, and it really is not, it's not necessarily for Christians, although it kind of really is more about a Christian worldview, you know, and understanding how medicine and everything fits into Christianity. You know, there's a lot of people who are not Christians who don't really, you know, they don't really know how to piece it all together. And I think even a lot of Christians do. So this kind of takes a step back. You know, Bob, I believe that before we ever even open our Bibles, there's evidence that tells us that there's a God.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And, yep. and it even involves science and our intuition and all those things. So we know that there's a God. So it kind of goes through these steps, and it's really it's a book that discusses equations. And
yeah, I was going to say it's about equations, Spoonful of Courage, Equations to Find Grace and Life's Challenges.
So this
challenges.
Is the book, and it kind of goes through equations, you know, and so we have all these equations in our head, and, you know, we all kind of respond to our life events in different ways. And the first is kind of a victim mentality, you know, where we think that the outcome of our lives is totally dependent upon the circumstances. And so the only thing we know is to change the circumstances, you know, like, for example, in our health, well, I've got this. And so the answer is just change the circumstances. And what we find is ultimately we can't change a lot of the circumstances that have already happened, you know? So kind of the next level is those people who add their response, you know, this, and it's kind of a self-help kind of response, you know, people who say, you know, well, I can't change the circumstances, but I can change the way that I respond to my circumstances.
Yeah.
And in one sense, that's very true. I mean, that we do have a role. We do have a responsibility, you know, to take control of our situation. And so the problem with that, and even as a doctor, I've realized, you know, I can do everything right, Bob. I can do everything right, and everything wrong happens, you know? And in the reverse, I can do everything wrong sometimes and still have a good outcome. So we know that there's another factor involved. And that's where I bring in the other factor of God. That's the third kind of way of thinking about life and in our circumstances. But, you know, back to the equations, you know, in that response things, there are people who are strong responders and people who are weak responders. You know, there's the heroes and zeros, you know, and,
yep.
And there are people who think that that their responses are always inadequate. You know, and the answer to every life challenge is, well, just suck it up and do better. You know, there's always a new attitude or a new activity that you can do. But as we really think about our lives, ultimately we realize that, in a sense, they're the zeros. And maybe they're more honest than the heroes. They're the more people that know, hey, really, I've tried. I've tried. I see this every day. People, they've tried to be healthy. They've tried to do this. And they just end up in defeat. And you know, ultimately, if we think about it, our responses are inadequate from God's perspective. You know, we're never going to be adequate enough to merit, you know, God's grace. We're never going to be good enough to face some of our life challenges. I know you have faced some life challenges with your health, and I've faced some life challenges where it didn't matter how strong of a response I could muster, never going to be able to make it. You know, I'm never going to be able to to have that outcome. And that's the point where we bring grace into our equation. So that's kind of the whole idea, is just to being a grace responder and letting God do for us what we can't do for ourselves,
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And that's kind of the whole kind of thought of this. And, you know, and just, you know, and there's so many people that are facing life challenges that, you know, they don't really know how where God fits into that, you know? And so that's kind of the whole kind of thrust of this book, is just to kind of, without using a Bible verse, you know, just kind of having something that people can read to go, oh, I see how God can fit into this. And then kind of, you know, in a sense, it is an apologetic. It talks about why we, you know, why do we even believe there's a God, you know, and how do we know those kind of things? And some of the things that people are kind of struggling with, I think, these days is, you know, what's real and what's not real. And so it's kind of a book to bring people back to understanding that, you know, this is God's world. He created an order that we have to live in.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there is a reality, and then kind of dealing with, okay, how does God fit into all this? You know, so that's kind of the thrust of the book, is to kind of show us how grace fits in. And the whole equation, you know, everything else is a term, but grace is a factor. You know, factors, I'm no, man, in fact, I failed my first class in college, math, by the way. So anyway, that was the one thing that was going to keep me out of medical school. But, you know, the factors are multiply, and, you know, terms are just additive. And that's where grace comes in. And that's the whole point of the gospel, is that, you know, God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And so that's kind of the whole thrust of the book. So
Amen.
It's a different
Amen.
Book. I've got some more work to do on it. It's kind of the title doesn't really express what the book's about. So I may give a new version on down the road. We'll see.
Amen. Amen. And you emphasize that people aren't alone when they're going through these things. I mean, when facing medical challenges, is that a normal reaction for people to feel alone, like nobody cares?
I think we all, in one sense, feel that. Don't you? I mean, often, you know, whatever life circumstance we're going through, we feel alone, we feel afraid, we feel helpless. And you know, and in a sense, we kind of have that zero mentality, but that may be the best place that we could ever be, because ultimately we're either going to be in live in despair, or it's going to throw us ultimately to God. And you know, I think God puts us in those situations. Seems like to me every other day, just remind me that, hey, I do need God, you know? So I would say that, but yeah, I think there's a lot of people, like, you know, especially, you know, the first time you tell someone that they have cancer, man, that's one of those times when the room begins to spin and you begin to really feel alone, but God is, it's, you know, like Psalm 46 says, you know, God is our very present help in time of need, you know? And so ultimately we don't realize, you know, is that those obstacles, especially those health obstacles we face, are opportunities for God to begin to, you know, begin to be a very present help, but we have to ask for it. We have to look for it. And so that's the hard thing. So that's kind of what my writing helps people to do, is to see the possibilities in their problems.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. Well, out of time for today's portion of this great interview with Dr. Charles Page. Now, Dr. Page has been on our program before, as we've been talking about his book, and A Spoonful of Courage is just a book you need to get. I mean, it is awesome. I just enjoyed reading. I couldn't put it down. And now he's released another book, Spoonful of Courage, Equations to Find Grace in Life's Challenges. Hallelujah. And in this episode, we've been talking about him giving us advice on running a business tree, business as part of your ministry, or a ministry as part of your business. And folks, this is some great information he's been putting out. So I want to encourage you, drop down the show notes, click the links right there, get in touch with him, ask him to come on and do an interview on your podcast if you have a podcast, and get his books. These things are awesome. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, they're just so awesome. I can't say that enough. But be sure you come back for the very next episode, because we're only through part one of a great two-part interview. Till next time, it's Pastor Bob Ryan. Be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.